Welcome to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We are a life-giving church for everyone. We are multi-generational, multicultural, and exist to multiply by reaching our community both locally and globally with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that this message helps you in your walk with Jesus.
Man, praise the name of the Lord. How's it going, Generation Life Church? Happy Resurrection Sunday. Yeah, man. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I tried to wear a pair of sneakers with this suit. My wife said, absolutely not. But amen. Thank God for our wives had helped us, you know, be presentable. Hey, amen. We are so, so incredibly glad. I just want to one more time officially welcome you to Generation Life Church. My name is Keith Barreto, and I have the distinct honor and privilege of serving as lead pastor here at Gen Life. And we've got an incredible group of volunteers. I just wanted to say on behalf of my wife, on behalf of me and the lead team of Gen Life, welcome. Welcome, fam. We're so glad that you are here with us today. If you're a guest with us, we're so glad that you're with us. We pray that you have found a place that you could call home, at least in the moment. Go ahead and feel free to just act as though you are at home. Here at Gen Life, we'll give an amen if the preacher is preaching good. If you stay quiet, I assume. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying amen is like gas to the lawnmower for the preacher. But hey, we're just so glad. If you're joining us online, come on, can you help us make some noise for everybody joining us online? So glad you guys are with us today. Man, the Spirit of God is just in this place. I don't know if you can sense that or not, but man, can we just put our hands together for our choir and our worship team? Amen and amen and amen. Hey, get your Bibles, if you will, and go with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 8. The book of Romans, chapter number 8. Romans, chapter number 8. However it is you access the Word of God, if you have your phone, your tablet, your Bible. I know Caleb read John 21, verses 1 through 18. And so maybe you're just joining us online. You're going to want to familiarize yourself with that text. And we're going to go to that in just a few moments. But before we do that, I want to just go to Romans, chapter number 8, and verse 11. And when you have it, say amen. If you're still looking, say hold up. All right, we'll give you a second. All right, and I'm going to ask if you would stand for the reading of God's word today on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 11. And what I'd like to do, we have our words on the screen for you in the NIV translation, but I want to read this text together nice and loud as a family. We're only going to read one verse. One verse, and I want to read nice and loud in concert. Are you ready for the word today? Yeah, come on, let's read together. Ready? Read. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Can you say amen? Amen? May God add His blessing to the reading of the word today. Hey, the title of the message is called Risen. Look at somebody, say risen. And because this is my tagline today, because Jesus is risen, everything is changed. Because Jesus is risen, everything is changed. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Father, we just give you thanks, Lord. We recognize that you are here amongst us, Lord. Father, I'm asking today that you would help us to hear your word. Lord, that you would help us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Father, we know that yesterday, about 2,000 years ago, it was dark. Darkness covered the earth, Lord, similar to the conditions that we're seeing now with earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and so many things that are taking place in our society and all over the globe. And Lord, we know that you are the hope of the world. Lord, we celebrate you today because this is the day that you conquered. Lord, this is the day of hope. This is the day of celebration because you were resurrected from the dead. And Lord, we are so grateful and we are thankful, Lord, because you rose. Ah, we can rise too. We love you and we honor you. We celebrate you. And it's in the strong and mighty name of Jesus we pray. And anybody who loves him, can you shout amen?
Amen.
Amen. High five somebody before you're seated. Because Jesus is risen, everything is changed. Man, I love the word. I love to preach the word. Been walking with the Lord for a minute now. Been saved longer than I've been alive, right? Longer saved? No, I've been saved longer than I've been unsaved. Let me just say that. And you know, one of the things that has been absolutely fascinating to me is the fact that because Jesus is risen, how quickly things can change. Anybody ever noticed that? When I look back on my life and I think about how the way I used to live and the people that I used to run with, the friends that I used to have, statistically, I should have either died young, like many of my friends did, or I probably should have been locked in prison, like many of my friends still are to this day. But it was as if one day, the goodness and the grace and the love of God just suddenly said, all right, that's it. It's time now. And I don't know if this is the case with everyone, but when I rededicated my life to Jesus, there were some things that were on the table that he simply removed that I could never overcome. Like I'm talking about, he pulled alcoholism right out of my life. He pulled drug addiction out of my life almost overnight. It was like I woke up one morning with a disdain for the things that I used to love to do that were ungodly, and he replaced those desires with a hunger for him and a hunger for prayer and a hunger for the word and a hunger for church. And I mean, it was insane. My friends couldn't believe it. My family couldn't believe it. The church kind of believed it cautiously because they were like, how in the world is this guy who we've been praying about for years to come off the street, what? Suddenly, all of a sudden, he's changed? But God. Now, I know that for some, it may not have been that short of a process, but that's why the old saying says, it doesn't matter where you start. It matters where you finish. And thank God for change. So if you're here today and maybe you're feeling distant from God or maybe you're struggling in an area of your life or maybe you can't overcome certain things and I feel you today. I know where you're sitting. I know what you might be going through. But I do feel led to stop by to tell you today, I don't know what you got going on, and I'm not trying to minimize your pain, but I do want to let you know that because Jesus is risen, everything can change. In fact, we have a celebration statement that we have in the church on Easter Sundays. And maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you've never had a church experience, but we have a thing that we say, and that is, he is risen.
He is risen.
Yeah, man. Okay, I'm at home. Come on, one more time. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. How many of you come out of the old school church where the preacher would be like, he is risen? I don't have anybody backing me up. It's probably a good thing, probably a good thing. But what that phrase means is that everything is changed. Like the reason why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday in the church like it's the Super Bowl, the reason why we party like it's 1999, I'm dating myself, but the reason why is because when Jesus was resurrected, it meant that we won. That he conquered death for us all. And because he's risen, everything has changed. Like think about it. Theologically, everything has changed. The way people study scriptures has changed. We're no longer reading the word looking for what the Messiah would look like because Jesus Christ fulfilled the scriptures in that he was, he is, and he will always be the Messiah. Historically, everything has changed. We can't even tell time without mentioning the name of Jesus. I remember as a boy learning in school, they would teach us that BC meant before Christ and AD meant after his death, or proper Anno Domino, which means in the year of our Lord. We can't even tell time without Jesus. He changed history in more ways than one. But most importantly, spiritually, things changed when Christ was resurrected. Oh, in that he absolutely conquered death. He came as the sacrificial lamb, and they crucified him and put him on the cross, but he wouldn't stay down. And though he came as the lamb, when he returns, he's coming back as the conquering King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, come on, somebody. He is risen. Oh, my. I'm going to come out of this jacket before it's all over. But hey, I want to give you my first point today, and it's also my tagline. If you take a note, write this down. Because Jesus is risen, everything is changed. Look at somebody and say, change. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, we preached a message called Mo Better. If you haven't seen that one, man, you got to go on YouTube and check that thing out. But we talked about when Jesus was crucified and resurrected, that he literally inaugurated a brand new covenant of grace, whereby people were no longer under the old covenant, where the blood of innocent animals was shed for the sins of guilty people, because Jesus established a covenant of better things. All right, now let's lean in here for a moment. I want to put our theological caps on for a second as we lean into the scriptures today. Are you ready to dive deep into the word? I know it's Easter Sunday and all, but that doesn't mean we can't dive deep into the scriptures. So maybe turn our listening ears on. Cute little thing. We were hanging with some friends and family this past weekend, and some of our good friends got this little three-year-old named Carter, and Rebecca, his mother, said that at preschool, when they want him to listen, they say, turn on your listening ears. Any grandkids? Anybody have any grandkids or kids? And it's real cute. So she took him home, and she was like, okay, Carter, turn on your listening ears. And he's like, Mommy, I already turned those on a long time ago. Guess that didn't work. But listen, in all seriousness, Jesus told his children in Revelation, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. So can we lean in? Can we dive into the word? And let's go get this scripture today. Can you say amen? All right, so if you're taking notes, would you write this down? Theological term, substitutionary atonement. Substitutionary atonement, aka substitution in short. Substitution is the belief that Jesus died to pay humanity's moral debt to God. The belief that Jesus died to pay humanity's moral debt to God. See, we owed a debt that we could not pay, and Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. To fully understand what Jesus accomplished on the cross, and the reason why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday is that we have to understand the background of it, in that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament sacrificial system that took place in the Old Covenant. All right, so I want to give you a couple of things here. Jot this down for your title. 5 OT offerings, or 5 Old Testament offerings and sacrifices. All right, so I'm going to blitz through these, but I just want you to write these down. And when you write them down, I'm going to give you 2 scripture references, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. Write those down so that when you get home later on or even this week, you could study the Word of God for yourself. Because Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament sacrificial system. For example, write down the burnt offering. The burnt offering. In the book of Leviticus, chapter number 1 and verse 3, we read that if someone was given a burnt offering to the Lord, that it had to be a male without defect. Okay? A male without defect. Now check this out. 1 John 3 in verse 5, about 1,500 years later. Watch this. He says, but you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin or no defect. Talking about Jesus. Oh, that's good. He was the burnt offering. Write this next one down. The grain offering. Jesus fulfilled the grain offering. Leviticus chapter number 2 and verse 1. Lets us know that the grain offering consisted of the finest flour, olive oil, and had incense on it. That sounds like a recipe for a good loaf of bread, right? That's not bad right there. Anybody getting hungry? Yeah, some of us have been here since the sunrise, man. We're hungry. Eating communion bread back there, you know? We're so hungry. We hungry. We're amen. For the word of God, of course. Look, check this out. John 6 and 35. Watch this. John 6 and 35. Jesus said he is the bread of life. Oh, he fulfilled the grain offering. What? Let's look at another one. He was the peace offering. The peace offering. Leviticus 3 and verse 1. The peace offering was a voluntary act of worship. Oh, this is so important. This is so important. Check this out. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse 14. Ephesians 2 and 14 lets us know that for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. Oh, he was our peace offering. Look at this next one. Jesus was the sin offering. Oh my. Jesus was the sin offering. Leviticus 4 and verse 1. Leviticus 4 and verse 1 lets us know that the sin offering had a portion of the sacrificial animal, listen to this, had to be burned outside of the camp, okay? On the outside of the camp. Now, oh, this is so good for us. I feel like I'm about to run up out of here. I get a little excited about the scriptures, but watch this. In John 19 and verse 18, John 19 and 18, the scripture tells us that Jesus was crucified where? Outside the city gate in between two thieves. Ooh, it is mind-blowing when you consider that you've got about 1,500 years in between these events, in between the book of Leviticus until the crucifixion of Jesus. Ah, let me give you this last one there. The trespass offering. The trespass offering. Jot down Leviticus 5 and verse 14. Leviticus 5 and verse 14 lets us know that the trespass offering required one to pay restitution for the sin that they were guilty of. And in 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, 1 Peter 1 and 19 lets us know that we were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Oh my goodness. I hope you just got that download right there. I hope you heard it the way I heard it, because this is what the resurrection of Christ is all about. Check it out. Currently, our American national debt is at about $20 trillion, maybe a little bit more than that, about $20 trillion. Listen, doesn't even come close to how valuable you are, because you were purchased with a currency that is beyond this world, a value that was so expensive that it took the blood of Jesus shed for your sin that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Oh my. This is why we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus like we lost our mind, because it's mind-blowing when you compare the fact that it should have been me on this cross. It should have been you that was on this cross. But because of the love of Jesus, he became the substitute and shed his blood to pay for our sin. Oh, come on, somebody. He is risen. Come on, one more time. He is risen. Amen and amen. I want to get the blood circulating this morning. I pray that you'd get excited about Jesus like you do this Duke and State basketball game coming up. Because Jesus is risen, everything is changed. Mm-hmm. Let me give you this second point right here. Number two, because Jesus is risen. Watch this one now. Everything can change. Everything is changed. Mm-hmm. Spiritually, everything can change in your life. Let's go back to Resurrection Sunday. Only about 2,000 plus years ago in John 20 and verse 17. Again, this is Mary who was the first to actually see Jesus after his crucifixion. In John 20 and 17, Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Now, there's been some biblical debate over the centuries as to the interpretation of this specific verse right here. The King James Version says, "Touch me not," which has caused many interpreters to ask the question, well, why can't he be touched? Right, what's going on? Some have even suggested that the reason why is because Jesus had not yet ascended to heaven and did not want Mary, who was sinful, as well as all of his disciples or anybody else, to taint this perfect sacrifice on the cross. But the NIV translation is much more accurate, because in John 20 and 17, the word says, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." So Jesus was definitely touchable. You can always approach Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? You can always approach Jesus. Even when the disciples would say, "Hey, listen, don't let those children bother the master. Don't go over there troubling the master." Jesus would say, "Oh, no. Come on over here. Let me sit him right down here on my lap." Well, if you know anything about history, during Jesus's day, children were the low end of the totem pole. But Jesus said, "Listen, come sit on my lap. You're going to be an example that if you'll humble yourself like a child, you can inherit the kingdom of God." Oh, it's a mindset. Jesus was always approachable. Are you approachable? Oh my, he was full of love. But here's the issue. Mary was trying to hold on to him because she was afraid to lose him again. And sometimes we want to hold on to those things that Jesus is trying to get us to let go of, because it brings us comfort, or because it brings us security, or because your friends are saying, "You need to get a man, girl. Life is too expensive to be out here by yourself." And if you allow that pressure of missing out, you might wind up hooking up into a relationship that Jesus never intended for you to be in. In other words, and I guess I have to say this, even though it's Easter Sunday, you'll have to forgive me, but you're too valuable to let them have a spot in the bed just because you need somebody to help you pay the rent. You're better than that. In fact, you might need to call them on the phone or send them a text message or DM them and let them know that you went to church and you found you another man. And his name is Jesus. If that's too spiritual for you, let him know you found a man and his name is Jesus. Go Latin on him. Amen. Amen. You guys know I'm Latin, right? Okay. All right. Cool. Hey, what can we learn from Mary? We can learn that though it may have comforted us in one season, it might not be appropriate to comfort us in this next season. And Jesus is saying, hey, listen, Mary, baby girl, don't hold on to the old you. You need to get the new, sweetheart. It's time to get the update. God wants to do a new thing in your life. Oh, my. I wonder how many opportunities have passed us by because we were holding on to an old thing. When God is trying to give you a new thing, a new relationship, or maybe a new job, or do a new thing in your family, or do something spiritually new in your development, I wonder how many opportunities have passed us by because we were hanging to an old relationship. Oh, man of God, I wonder how many women of God have checked you out before and said, whoo, my, he's got it going on. But because you got that old, I'll let it go. It's Easter Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. We'll keep it conservative. I'll put a second button up. Yeah. Some of us are stuck in our old ways. We're stuck in an old business model. And God's trying to show you how to implement new technology to bless this next season of your life. I guess what the Lord is trying to say through me is that it's time to make room for the new thing God wants to do in your life. And what Jesus is saying, hey, listen, Mary, everything has changed now. It's time to say peace to the old you so that you can receive the new you, so that you can usher in this next season of your life. So the only thing that needs to change now is you. Jesus was like, Mary, listen, you're no longer going to be able to physically hug me and to physically have a meal with me and to physically walk with me in my physical body. You're going to have to know me in another way now. I'm going to ascend to the Father, and when I do, the Holy Spirit, the Paracletus, he's coming to comfort you. The Comforter, the Dunamis of the Holy Spirit is coming down, and he's going to empower you and my church to live a resurrected life. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 5 real quick, or jot it down. You know, I don't hear pages turning in the church anymore. Is that like outdated? You guys still got a Bible? What do you mean, yeah? Man, I think we need to start bringing the Word again. I think we need to start bringing the Bible. Hey, however you access the Word of God, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that's your thing, cool. I can barely see the pages anyway, so that's the reason why I use it. If I show you my font, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that dude's blind. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 5. Check this out. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So this is how we know we're actually saved, okay? When we have repented of our sin and we receive Christ into our hearts, we receive the life of his Spirit on the inside of us. That's how we know that we're saved. Now watch this scripture. The scripture says, guaranteeing us salvation. And it's the Spirit of God that also empowers us to live this life for Jesus. So it's not you. It's not your abilities. It's not your success and your skill and your might and your power and your strength and your tough and all that. Yeah, I get all that. But it's about the Spirit of God. The book of Acts is a series that we're about to kick off next Sunday. I'm telling you, it's called Rewind. You don't want to miss a Sunday. We're going to be talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm excited because Chelsea Peterson's about to bring the house down next Sunday. But in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, listen to what the word of the Lord says. But you will receive power. Somebody say power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So when we receive Christ's Spirit, we also receive power to witness and to tell others about Jesus. Hey, that's exactly what Mary did. Now go back to John 20 and verse 18. I know I've got you scrolling, but you guys still good? John 20 and verse 18. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. She said, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. She may have been timid before, but when we receive Christ's Spirit, we also receive the power to witness. Mary Magdalene became a preacher, from a prostitute to a preacher. Isn't it funny how things can change? Oh, when you have the Spirit of God. In fact, I believe if you would begin to interview some of the leaders here in this church and some of the people who just sit beside, you don't even know what they look like, you'd be surprised about their testimony that they have. This woman became a preacher, and her words encouraged Jesus' disciples in such a way that it picked them back up when they were down. Now, you might be here and be like, hey, preacher, listen, I'm not a preacher. I'm not that one. But the scripture says, oh, yes, you are. You say, oh, no, I'm not. I say, oh, yes, you are. Nuh-uh. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because your life is preaching a message to others. Every time you have contact with somebody and you conduct yourself with godliness, your life is preaching a message to others. Every time you share the love of Christ, you're preaching. Every time you love those who might not love you back. Oh my, your boss, your coworker, that person, that neighbor that's driving you nuts, but you still show them the love of Christ? That'll preach right there. Come on, somebody shout, preach. Yeah, Mary Magdalene's little bitty sermon brought these brothers out of a depression because of her words of encouragement. Come on, fam. Let's live the kind of life that displays Jesus is risen. Let's be the kind of people that encourage one another. Husbands, let's be the kind of husband that encourages our wives. Wives, let's be the kind of wife that encourages our husbands. Let's be the brothers and the sisters that encourage one another so that our life-giving words pick each other up when we're down. And that preaches a message to those outside the church that Jesus is risen. Oh, come on, he is risen. Let me give you Romans 8 and verse 11 before I give you this last point. Romans 8 and verse 11. And this is what we had opened up with, Romans 8 and 11. You got one more scripture in you to read? Come on, let's run it back. Let's read it together out loud. Romans 8 and 11. Are we ready? Come on, let's read. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Can we just press pause for a moment and just think about that for a second? Just clear your mind for just a moment. If you have to close your eyes for a second, just let that sink in. If you've received Christ, you've received the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Listen, whatever you're facing right now, I want to let you know you can do this because you've got Jesus, because you've got Jesus' Spirit on the inside of you. If you don't know him today, he wants you to receive him so that you can receive his Spirit into your life. Hey, so far we've seen that when we receive Christ, we receive his Spirit to be saved. We receive his power to witness, and watch this, we receive his power to overcome, which leads me to my final point. Number three, everything will change if you change it up. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus is risen, everything will change if you change it up. There's a double meaning there. Meaning if you will invite Jesus in, he can change your situation. Maybe it's time to change it up. Maybe it's time to change it up because I don't know how long you've been living. I don't know if you've been in the church for a while, but check this out. Sooner or later, life will teach you that just because you're heaven bound doesn't mean that you won't have to fight like hell before you get there. You don't hear me on that side. Where's my help over here? Just because you're heaven bound doesn't mean that you won't have to fight like hell before you get there. Have you ever noticed
Have you ever noticed that hell is always fighting against you? That the devil never sleeps. He's ready to fight at all times. He never sleeps. He tries to attack you when you're depressed, when you're stressed, when you're at a low point. That's when he comes after you. But that's why Romans 8 and verse 11 said the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you so that you can overcome and rise above anything that the enemy would throw at you. Oh my. Anybody ready to rise above it? Anybody sick and tired of just being sick and tired about some things that just won't shake? What's that mean? It means that the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and he refuses to let you stay down. Oh, there's something on the inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit. He's like a buoy that you see in the sea that no matter how much life tries to hold you down and stomp you down, you will rise back up to the top and overcome it. Oh, my. You'll say, you know when you're about to rise because you'll say, I'm not willing to accept defeat. I'm not content to not fulfill God's purpose for my life. I'm not willing to allow these children to not be raised in church. I'm not willing to watch you sit around and get drunk and squander your potential anymore. Come on, family. Let's do this Jesus thing together. Come on, men. That's what she wants. She wants to see you be the spiritual leader of your family. She wants to see you walking in your calling and living in your purpose. She wants a man of God, a capital M-O-G. That's man of God. Oh, but when she sees you making that commitment to rise above it, now that's sexy right there. You can be a skinny guy with no muscles, but boy, when she sees you going after God, she'd be like, "Woo my, you see that man of God, right? Look at how masculine he curls that Bible. Look at how masculine he turns those Bible pages to lead those family devotions. Did you hear that prayer warrior right there? You just prayed for the meal, you know what I mean? Pray for the meal." She's like, "Woo my." Because she wants to see you rise above it. He wants to see you rise above it. And God wants to see us all rise above it. And you can do this, sir. You can do this, ma'am. Single parent, you got this. If you will bring Jesus into the situation, you can rise above it. If you don't hear anything else, know that if you've got Christ, you can rise above it. Come on, one last time. He is risen. Come on, he is risen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Generation Life Church Sermon Podcast. We pray that this message inspired, encouraged, and challenged you in your walk with Jesus. Join us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. in person at Orange High School or online via our YouTube channel. For more information about Gen Life or to connect with us, visit generationlifechurch.com.